textbooked.
You're listening to Untextbooked. This is a history podcast for the future that gives young people like us agency and voice in our education. I'm your host, Gabe Hostin.
I'm producer Ellie Carver-Horner.
Today, we have a special bonus episode for you.
Yes, March is Women's History Month, and we are back with an incredible guest from earlier this year.
History has a bad name. A lot of times, you know, it doesn't include her story. And here's mine. My name is Irma Lerma Barbosa.
She is both an artist and activist. This year, she donated a collection from her life's work to the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Curator Veronica Mendez facilitated the acquisition.
The sort of historical significance of her collection as a whole is extremely unique.
We have a great episode about her time in the Brown Berets and the items she donated to the Smithsonian.
In that episode, we go in depth about Irma's time as a leader in the Brown Berets, how she met with the Black Panthers and started a free breakfast program, and her experience as a woman in the artist activist group Royal Chicano Air Force.
In this episode, we'll share how she continued to bring women together through art and activism. So, a quick refresher on Irma's story. She grew up near Sacramento, California, during a time when the Chicano movement was gaining traction.
Okay, hold up. What is the Chicano movement?
The Chicano movement fought for the civil rights and empowerment of people living in the United States who descended from Mexico.
Got it.
During college, she became really politically active in her community.
I had also been recruited into an organization called the Royal Chicano Air Force. At that point, it was called the Revolutionary Chicano Art Front. It was while I was in school, and I love art. I loved art growing up. It was like what fed me, what saved my soul.
So just to be super clear, the Royal Chicano Air Force didn't have anything to do with planes?
That's right. This was a collective of artists and activists. And even though Irma is a talented artist and impassioned community organizer, she says she was not embraced by the group leaders.
The guys, they were all men in the RCAF, the Royal Chicano Air Force. I was the only girl because they were so chauvinistic, you know, but it didn't bother me because I was going to do what I was going to do. I was going to think, I was going to demonstrate, I was going to help people, you know, and I kind of brought that flavor into this art group. And they were like trying to be like romantic heroes, you know, and they pretended a lot that they were like military. They would drive around in Jeeps and stuff, but they were artists. Basically, they were artists and they worked with farm workers movement mostly. Yeah, I've slept on Cesar Chavez's mother's kitchen floor, you know, yeah.
Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta started the National Farm Workers Association in 1962 to fight for civil and labor rights on farms. It was an incredibly important part of Chicano activism at the time.
You know, we would go there and we would help them and we would demonstrate in the fields and we would hold up the signs that we would make.
Specific to the experiences you mentioned, what was it like being a woman in these organizations like the Brown Berets, the Royal Chicano Air Force, United Farm Workers? I'm curious.
I had to stop being a woman. I could not be a woman. I had to wear clothes that were not what other girls wore. I had to wear combat boots. I had to wear Army Navy kind of clothes, you know, that did not reveal my body. And I became what they called me, a heavy, like the people that were leaders in the movement were called heavies. It's because you're powerful. Like you're the spokesperson. You're the leader. So I have very few women heavy. So I was a heavy. And all of the women in the organization, everybody, you know, these are Chicanos, Mexican Americans, has a role, right? The man's the boss. They're the cooks. He's their hero. All of that. Well, I didn't fit in there. I was walking like a man with the men, and I didn't need anyone to give me permission. My womanliness was removed from me by the other women. I was not treated like a woman. I was not invited to be part of their womanly gatherings to prepare for organizations. I was working on security, and I was working on who's going to speak and those kinds of things. And even with the men, you know, they knew they couldn't flirt with me because they knew how serious I was. I kind of scared them a little bit. So it's like I was invisible, you know, I was like useful, valuable, powerful, but I wasn't a woman and I wasn't a man. So that was what was really hard, you know, about being a girl and doing the things that I did while I was in college.
Years later, Irma says she was being pushed out from the story of this organization when an author was writing a book about the history of the Royal Chicano Air Force.
And so this author interviewed them all, took years to get them all interviewed, and she took her writings to the university press, and the university press would not accept it. Said, you have neglected to interview Irma Barbosa. And then she couldn't get through to me. I mean, no one would give her my name. Finally, she was able to find me. I had all my transcripts from college that showed, you know, had a class made up for the breakfast program. And then she started looking at all of the other evidence that I had and my work, and she included in her writing, and she sent it off, and it resulted in the university press accepting it and publishing it, flying under the radar with the Royal Chicano Air Force. I've got a huge chapter in here that tells all about what I did, and it's an award-winning book.
After Irma graduated college, she started her career and started a family of her own.
But what about her art, her activism? What happened?
Oh, that never stopped. It just took a different shape. Years after she graduated from college and started her life as a mother, she got a call.
I got a call one night from another lady who was also an artist, and she said that the Royal Chicano Air Force had been invited to go to Chicano Park in San Diego to paint a mural on a freeway stanchion. And what had happened was in this neighborhood, the police were planning on building a police substation, and it was a Mexican-American neighborhood. It was a barrio. And so the people were organizing and they were protesting and they were calling for artists to come from all over. There were other women artists that wanted to go, but they didn't know how to paint a mural.
She learned how to create murals from an art teacher, Eduardo Carrillo.
So they recruited me to go with them, and now there is a stanchion there that has the images of a group of women, not only from Sacramento, but from Los Angeles. And it's called the RCAF Women's Mural, and it was called Women Hold Up Half the Sky. My part was at the very center, and it had a woman holding half of the earth as though it were a cradle with a baby in it, because that resonates with me. Children and women, you know, they hold up half the sky. That means you wouldn't be here without a woman, right? We do our work and we lift our family up. You know, we lift what we love up. Half of that sky belongs to us.
Irma and her fellow women artists painted this mural in 1975. It is such a beautiful symbol of solidarity. As Irma experienced firsthand, women are so often ignored for their contributions to the arts and activism, but this mural vibrantly asserts their resistance. I asked Irma, why can art be such a powerful force for activism?
What is necessary for survival of your soul is food, art, and music. We have a vibration, you know? Our body, our aura, our soul has a vibration. And this world has a tendency to compress us, to push us down, to not give us room, you know, to be able to enlarge, you know, our vision and our vibration. But when I cook, oh my God, it's like a work of art. All of the different spices. I give my granddaughter a cookie. She says, what's in this, Grandma? 15 ingredients? Yeah, because we're creating, right? So art and music and food are necessary for survival. Necessary. I have a work of art called Comadre Enchilada that's really popular, and it's just a picture of a happy woman in a beautiful costume flipping a tortilla up in the air. And you ask yourself, is that a tortilla or is that the moon? You know? So we need all of those things.
She started a group named Comadres Artistas, an all-women artist collective.
But after my marriage failed, I was still working. I still had a job. And then I had to realize, you know, no one's going to take care of me. I'm going to have to take care of myself. And I have two children, two beautiful children that I raised. But being alone without a husband, raising children, going to work, I was still called upon by the women. Now, these were different women. These were young women who wanted to, had energy and they wanted to accomplish things. And they asked me if I would invite them to form a group because women were dying out there. I mean, as far as like hope and doing things. And so I said yes. And some of the women I invited were the actual wives of the men in the Royal Chicano Air Force who were artists, but had to give up their art because they married an artist, right? And I lent all of my skills to lifting up this group. What I did was I used all of my marketing skills to create this, an art catalog called Story Visions from the Cactus Tree. And then I mailed it everywhere. And we got invited to exhibit everywhere. And I did full color illustrations of their work inside. This is one of mine called Warriors of a New Day. But I'm just saying, they were lifted way up. And it was kind of offensive to the guys in the RCAF because they were trying to erase me because they were starting to get notoriety. And when they would get interviews from opportunities with newspapers or television, they would leave me out and they wouldn't mention me. And there was some kind of confusion about that. And I didn't want to get embroiled in fighting for a place there because I never did that in the first place. And they said that their motto was, we belong to the community. And so we were invited to visit all of the communities around Sacramento, and we became kind of visible, and we even got an honorable mention or commemorative plaque from Maria Shriver.
Wow.
When her husband was the governor of California. Yes. And these were older ladies, you know? It like saved their souls.
She continued to be a voice for women throughout her career in the public and private sectors as well.
There's one more thing I didn't tell you about. Those 10 years that I was missing in action before I came back and created the Comadres Artistas, I worked for the state of California for the Office of Information Services. And it was kind of just like we did reports and we looked official, and it was a very tiny little office. There were like two or three women and a female boss and a male boss. And I was supervisor over the women. And they were two girls. They were in college and they were quite young, about your age. And he, the male boss, would set up out-of-town meetings. They finally told me after I got to know them. And then he would come and pound on their doors at night all drunk. Yes. And if he felt like it, he would punish them, dock their pay, you know, things like that. And so I filed a complaint against him. And usually nobody would testify, but women came forward and testified for me, for my complaint. And I won the complaint, but I told them, I don't want your money. What I want you to do is institute required sexual harassment training for every employee in the state of California and every new employee. And I got it.
Wow. That's I mean, that's unbelievable.
Once an activist, always an activist. You know, you just have to wait for it to arrive in your lap and then you stand up.
When people look at your art, what do you hope they take away from it?
I hope that it educates, like gives you a different perspective so that you don't just accept what people tell you. This is a box. This is a circle. No, maybe it's a tortilla. Maybe it's the moon. You know, I want them to come out of their shells, you know, and see how grand their spirit can be and that they can invent things and they can call it by freedom. Freedom is what I want them to feel.
Thank you again to Irma Lima Barbosa for generously sharing her story with us. You can listen to our previous episode that includes an interview with curator Veronica Mendez. We dive into Irma's work with the Brown Berets and the historic items she donated to the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Thanks again to Veronica Mendez for facilitating the connection that made the interview possible.
You can find photos of Irma's artwork and the items she donated on our website, untextbooked.com. This is our last episode of the season, but don't stress, we'll be back with season 5 in October. Trust me, you'll want to hear what we have in store. In the meantime, take a look at our brand new website at untextbooked.com. You can check out all of our past episodes there. We actually have a few producers who are aging out of the program this year, so just want to shout them out. Ellie, Gavin, Carly, Victor, Lily, Oliver, and your host, yours truly, Gabe Hostin. I'm leaving, guys. You know, I'm 21 now, aging out of the program, and it's honestly been such an amazing project to run here. I'm so proud of what we've done here. I'm so proud of the education we've brought to our people who are looking for a new way to learn history. Even though I may not be host coming on the next seasons, I will have a hand in the program, and I will continue to bring education to those around the world who need it. Thank you so much for listening these past 4 seasons. I love you all and appreciate you all. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Untextbooked. I'm producer Ellie Carver-Horner.
And I'm Gabe Hostin. Thanks to the History Collab, Fernanda Rain, and CC Payne. Untextbooked is produced by Pod People, Rachel King, Amy Machado, Danielle Roth, Hannah Pedersen, Michael Aquino, and Tony Montilla.